the secret 12-year study about what separates those who achieve wealth from those who don't. I'm not sure about you, but I've always been fascinated by the people who are able to achieve wealth because I've always seen a lot of people who work hard. I think most people would agree with you that they are working hard constantly, and yet many people fail to achieve wealth. Mm-hmm. And so I was always someone who thought, look, I would love to create wealth for myself, for my family. I always believed that if I have more wealth, I could do more good and have a greater impact out there in the world.
Sure.
And so, but I had no idea how to do it, right? You know, I remember growing up when we first moved to Australia, we moved to a small country town.
This called is your
Griffith.
Family.
My family, yeah. Correct. When we moved, I was 9 years old, 8 or 9. And for the first year, we lived in this little two-bedroom shack. Mm. It was 40 degrees out there now, Celsius. And we had this little air conditioning unit there from the ceiling that we all would like to literally bunch around because there was no other air conditioning around the house. So that's where we first started. And I've seen my parents then go on to work hard and do well.
Yeah.
But I'd never say that anyone I knew in my inner circle was financially free. In other words, they could choose not to work.
Yeah.
But I saw them working very, very hard. So I thought, yeah, I do know that there's so many people out there, or at least I've read about people, who have achieved wealth.
Yeah.
How does this all work? And one of the things that it really dawned on me as I did a lot of study was that what I could see was that most people who created wealth either created their wealth or stored their wealth in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I decided then that that was where I wanted to start my, my study and work things out. So what I did was initially became somebody who could really identify good opportunities to invest in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But the problem is I didn't have any money.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, let me become someone who finds these opportunities for other people. Okay.
Right.
And that's how I sort of got started in the industry, haphazardly initially, but been doing it full-time profession now for about 6-7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what I always figured is if somebody knew they wanted to achieve wealth, and they wanted to find a particular property, and I could find that property for them, they would move forwards. But what really blew me away, and this is what really started saying, hold on, maybe my whole idea about that you need to have money to make money, or that wealth achieves maybe some special superpower, or whatever the case is, may be completely, completely wrong.
Yeah.
And that comes from the fact that I could get two couples who say, you know, mum and dad, both working, mortgage, got some equity in the house, want to do something for their children or for retirement. And they both have very similar requirements, and I'd find them the perfect property, that was in a good growth location, easy to get rented, so there's no issues there. And in fact, the cash flow was positive, which meant it paid for the expenses and gave them an extra.
Right.
It's like getting a raise at work without working for it.
Yeah.
And so what I found was that I'd say the same property, this first couple who said they wanted it would then for some reason stop.
Right.
Whereas this other couple would choose to move forwards.
Yeah.
And often this couple would then move on to buy 2-3 properties, in some cases 5 or 6, build immense wealth for themselves and start creating great dreams and everything else.
Sure.
This couple, even if I met them 3 years later, would still have done nothing.
Right.
And it was like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Because to me, they could do it, but what stopped them?
Yeah.
And many people, you know, and there's so much out there in the wealth creation, I guess, industry or personal development about fear.
Mm.
All right. Is it fear that, you know, these people, these wealth achievers would go on to create great wealth? They didn't have fear. No, that wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I always remember this particular couple who came to me. They wanted to invest in property and create wealth for themselves. I'd been speaking at a seminar, and they came and saw me afterwards, and they said, we want to do this. We know we can do it, but we're scared. But then they realized that if we continue to stay scared, 5 years are going to go past, 10 years are going to go past like quickly. I mean, imagine just for yourself, reflecting how quickly the last 5 years have gone by.
Yeah.
How quickly the last 10 years have gone by. Just blink and it's gone, right?
Yeah.
And this couple, they'd both been married before and divorced. This was their second marriage to both of them.
Okay.
And both their first marriages essentially failed because they've been working too hard, not spending time with each other.
Sure.
Okay. So they didn't want to make the same mistake round two. But at the same time, then you didn't have much because everything that had been lost in the previous marriages.
Yeah.
So they come together with very little, had started from scratch, built up a bit of equity in their home. Mm-hmm. But now what next?
Yeah.
Okay. And they were really, really scared. But the difference is they didn't let their fears stop them.
Yeah.
They found the right people, in that case it was me, to help them move forwards. And now they've got a multi-million dollar property portfolio.
Nice.
They've both changed work. So they now got, in fact, now in lines of work, they both enjoy. But because they enjoy it, they're making more money now than they used to.
Okay? I'm going to guess they're a lot happier now than they were before.
Correct.
As well.
Absolutely. And for them, it's not so much how much they have in property, and they just couldn't get the property, right? They've got the time to spend with each other.
Freedom.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. You know, they spend more time at the beach than they used to. They're in amazing, amazing physical condition. These guys are both now in their 50s. Yeah. They're probably fitter than most 20-year-olds I know.
Yeah.
Right? It's phenomenal what they've been able to achieve. And it's because even now they'll say, you know, we don't know how we did this. We still don't quite understand it. But what we do know is if we had let our fears stop us, we wouldn't have moved forwards. And the question I said is, look, there are many people come to me who will stop because they're scared, who will get to this point where they've asked all the questions, this is exactly what they wanted, but they still can't get themselves to move forwards.
Okay.
I said, what was it that made you move forwards? And I said, look, I appreciate you trusted me, but other people will trust me but still not move forwards.
Yeah.
What was it made you move forwards? And they said, you know, well, we knew we had to. And I think for me, the key thing between wealth achievers, between those who fail to achieve wealth, is is a set of habits.
Yeah.
Okay. But one of the first habits is that wealth achievement is a must for the people who get there.
Yeah.
Whereas for those who don't,
got it. Yeah.
It's a maybe, should, it'd be nice, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Because one thing I've learned is that in life, we don't get what we want.
Yeah.
As much as we'd like to say this is what we want, we get in life what we must have.
Yeah.
And for most of us, what we must have is a job. We must put food on the table. We must be able to pay our mortgage. We must be able to get to Monday to Friday without being fired, okay? And then we try and pack everything we can into our weekends.
Mm.
That's how we live our life.
Yeah.
And it's busy. It's hard work, all right? But the good thing is, from all my research over the last 12 years, not just studying other people, actually helping people create wealth, is that wealth achievers have a different set of habits. But the good thing is, what I've learned is that achieving wealth does not involve any more physical effort than achieving a life of mediocrity and being average.
Why is that?
Because
a lot of people will say, you know, oh, I don't have time to do this property stuff. You know, I'm busy with my 9 to 5.
Correct.
So why does it not take more effort to have a life filled with abundance and fulfillment and freedom?
Look, I was the same person. I always thought, I don't have time to be wealthy. I mean, it almost sounds ridiculous to say that.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people think, oh, make more money, I'm going to work harder.
Correct.
But you only have a certain amount of hours in the day. And as you said, that last couple, they had a failed marriage because they hadn't been able to spend enough time with one another.
That's right.
So what's the difference?
So the key, I would say, like a set of habits that is like a GPS. It takes no more effort to drive 100 kilometers in the wrong direction than it does to drive 100 kilometers in the right direction.
That's true.
Right? It's the same, right? In the same amount of effort. It's just you've gone the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Okay? Your habits are your GPS.
Mm-hmm.
They put you in the right direction or the wrong direction.
Right.
Okay? All right? If, for example, one thing I found is that people who fail to achieve wealth, many of them are either spenders, they spend more than they earn, or they're in the opposite, they're ultimate savers. They just want to hoard onto everything.
Yeah.
Okay? It takes no more effort to hold onto everything than it does to buy a particular piece of property. For example, if that's your vehicle, that's going to go in value.
Yeah.
Okay? Because it's a habit.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you save and then you invest for your money to work harder for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Whereas if you want to hold on to that money, in many ways it's almost involves more effort because you're holding on to it because you're scared of losing it.
Yeah.
And living a life of fear and worry and doubt, I would say involves more emotional effort.
Definitely.
Than living a life of, you know, certainty and freedom, right? Okay? And so one of the key things that I really wanted to show people with the book is that you can have everything you want to without having to put in so much more physical effort.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you may have to turn the car around, okay, because you've been going the wrong direction.
Which are your habits.
Yes, exactly. And it's not as if these are major habits, okay? For example, you need to understand, how do you set a vision for yourself? So you can do that New Year's Day, you can do it anytime you want to, right?
Yeah.
And set a goal for yourself that says, I want to move from here one step forwards. Don't say, I want to become a millionaire overnight. That sounds very, very exciting, and that's what lottery, you know, sellers make their money on. But set goals that are realistically move forwards, okay? Because wealth achievers understand that any progress is fine. Slow progress is better than no progress.
Yeah.
Okay, they're quite happy to, you know, invest in the books, get the programs, like you watching this, you know, you've invested in yourself, but you need to continue to keep learning and implementing the information that you're getting so that you're heading in the right direction. You've got to have a vision for yourself of what is a future for you that you'd be happy with? Not anybody else. What would you be happy with? And the reason why I know these habits work so well, Adrian, is because not only have I learned them and helped other people achieve wealth, but when I decided to start my own business, I remember that I started off within the first week, I was sued. Okay, my former employer.
That's a good start.
Yeah, exactly. It was a great start.
That's a dream start that we all want, right?
Into a business. You know, it was the scariest thing in the world. I remember it was Friday night, 7:15. I had literally been 7 days into my new business, putting at that time our only child, and we've now got two boys, but it was the only one then, to sleep. And there was a ring on the doorbell, and it was someone saying, "We've got some legal documents for you." I was like, okay, geez, you know, what's this?
Yeah.
And it was literally, it was a summons to turn up to the Supreme Court of Australia at 10 o'clock or so on the Monday morning with legal representation because I was being sued by my former employer. Scariest thing in the world because I had to come back, put my son to sleep, and then go and work out how on earth do I get a lawyer to turn up 48 hours later. You know, well, I was lucky enough that I did have somebody, and I remember him looking at the court case, and he said, "You know, this thing will never get to a final hearing.
Right.
This is purely nothing more than these guys trying to hurt you financially and stop you running your business." He didn't even know anything about who my former employer was, and that was his frank assessment.
But he didn't have to.
He didn't have to, okay? But what happened was, over the coming months, I wasn't allowed to trade as we went through this ridiculous hearing. It cost me so much money that eventually, exactly what happened, it was settled out of court.
Yep.
Nothing happened, and I was able to move forward.
Yeah.
But the financial pain was immense, and we got to a stage where it was like, are we going to have to sell our home?
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to put, you know, food on the table?
Wow.
My wife had taken time off. We just had a second baby.
Yeah.
It was the most difficult time of my life by none. I'd been broke before, but this is the first time I've been broke when I had a wife at home and
more
two kids.
More responsibilities.
Exactly, right? So now the question is, what do I do next? And why I'm so passionate about these habits is because I realize that the habits that I go through in these book about how to achieve wealth, they were the same habits that saved me, saved my life.
Yeah.
All right? Because it was all about setting a vision for yourself and setting something that's acceptable. For me, my vision for myself and my family at that time, my business was put food on the table.
Not a simple vision, but
simple.
Very
exactly.
Motivating.
Exactly, right? But it's not a grand vision at all. You know, it was a case of, I must do this.
Yeah.
And that was where it was, okay?
Yeah.
And then I had to go through, well, if that's what I want, whose help do I need?
Yeah.
What do I need to do? And you start moving through those processes, okay? But one of the things you've got to understand is that if you're looking to achieve wealth, you've got to work out what that means for you right now. For me, at that point in my life, it was food on the table. Nobody
so
thinks of that as well.
So right now, as opposed to, you mean like in 7 years' time or 20 years' time? Because a lot of people, from what I see, they say, I want to be a millionaire.
Yes.
And I want to be a millionaire by some arbitrary time. So
yes.
You're saying what would that look like right now?
You've got to be able to envisage making a tangible difference to yourself.
Mm.
Let me give you an example on a bigger scale. Oprah Winfrey, we now know, is probably the most influential woman on the planet, if not even the most influential person on the planet, right? Yet she started from abject poverty, okay? If you know anything about her, she never had this grand vision to become who she is.
Yeah.
She had no way of believing it. For her, her vision was, let me get a job. Let me do what I want, one step at a time, okay? And so you need to work out what's that next thing for you, okay? Because once you start getting momentum, then the whole ballgame changes for you. It's like, for example, someone who's massively overweight. If they set a goal to be a fitness model in 2 years' time, it's a specific goal.
Yeah.
It maybe goes through all these smart goals. That doesn't mean anything.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be, can you walk around the block?
Mm.
Right? Because once you walk around the block, you go, oh, I've done that.
Yeah.
What's next?
Yeah.
And you start making little things. All right. So people often ask me, hey, do you have big visions for yourself? I do now because I'm at a place where I can set them.
Yeah.
But I've been at a place where it made no sense for me to set those kind of big goals. I was just in survival mode.
Exactly.
So I need to go one step above survival mode, right? You know? So when you're setting visions for yourself, you've got to look at what would make a difference to you. What would get you excited, all right? Because it's a feeling. You know,
for you specifically, not what works for somebody else.
Nah.
Because again, people say millionaire, and it's like, why millionaire? It's such an arbitrary figure.
Correct, exactly. And then you and I, we live in Sydney, Australia. We know having $1 million doesn't even buy you property in some of the best areas
exactly,
anymore, right?
Exactly.
So what does that mean? It's got to mean something to you. You've got a vision that means something to you. Is it dinner, you want to, maybe the both of you are working, you want to have one of you at least stop, okay? Or is it that you want to be able to change jobs? Or whatever it is for you, it's got to be meaningful.
Yeah.
I know some of the people who I've helped create wealth themselves, I mentioned about that couple who are now spending lots of time at the beach, the other couple who come to mind, for example, they came to me and it was really interesting. They said, you know, we don't think we can invest in property. We've tried it before and we failed. Mm-hmm. It didn't work for us. We're in our 50s. Mm-hmm. I'm a bus driver, he was, and my wife, she's an admin assistant. Mm-hmm. We don't make money. They literally gave me all the reasons why they thought they couldn't achieve well and shouldn't invest. And this is their first meeting to me.
Why did they come to you then?
Exactly.
You go to a coach, I can't do it.
Like, exactly, right?
I'm confused.
That was my question to them.
Yeah.
I never had this before. They just said, look, this is all the reason why I can't. I was like, okay, so can I ask you, why are you here? And what they said to me completely transformed the way I've looked at achieving wealth and anything. They said to me this. They said, Nero, what if we're wrong?
It's a good question to ask.
And I said, what do you mean? I said, well, we know all the reasons why we think we can't, but we've heard you speak. You've helped other people.
Yeah.
What if you can help us and we don't come and ask you?
Yeah.
And I was completely blown away by that level of courage, that level of self-awareness to understand that they had certain limiting beliefs, but they're willing to question them.
Yeah.
I think most of us will have a belief about ourselves, right? You know, we can't achieve wealth because we're from this part of town, or my family never did, or whatever, whatever, whatever. And then we look for evidence
to support it.
To support it, right? This couple, and this couple has been just an example of many, were willing to verify their limiting beliefs. Right, so you know, when you set a vision for yourself, you want to do something, you want to take your life to the next level, you don't believe you can't. That's not most of it. Most of us do not believe we can achieve something we've never achieved before.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's just the way we've been conditioned, okay? But you need to understand, if you've got that belief, you need to verify, is it true? Okay? If you think you're too old, well, think about someone like Colonel Sanders, who started KFC in his 60s.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Think about someone like Maha Sinathamby, who's set up Springfield in North Queensland, which is the only city in Australia to win best city in the world. Okay? He's now in his 70s, 80s, starting a new business.
Wow.
All right? You can find other people. And what this couple said is, yeah, we want to know if we can.
Yeah.
And this couple who said, we can't do anything, we can't do, now have a huge property portfolio. They literally messaged me. They were in, I think, Peru or South America. All right, you know, they're traveling everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they keep saying, you said we could.
Yeah. Right?
And here's interesting. When I said, well, you can achieve wealth, they got excited. And then I showed them what was possible.
Yeah.
And what they said was, I said, you can build a big property portfolio. This is how we're going to do it, blah, blah, blah. And they said, oh, Nero, that's too much for us. And this is the next thing. They said, very intelligent. They said, can we just start with one?
Right.
Can we just take a small step?
Yeah.
And I said, absolutely, because see, I said before earlier, small progress, slow progress is better than no progress. A small step forward is better than standing and waiting for the big vision. It doesn't happen.
So the small step that they actually believe they can achieve versus this really big one that sounds good, but they don't actually have the belief they can do it.
Correct. So all they were looking for is, first of all, they came to see whether their limiting beliefs were valid.
Yeah.
And I said no. So they said, oh, okay.
Okay.
And then they saw so they could change direction. They had a new set of habits, new set of beliefs, okay? And then it was like, well, we can go all this far. Well, we're not sure. That's too much for us. But let's at least move forwards.
Yeah.
Staying here is not going to do anything,
yeah.
Right? So they bought their first property, and it all went well, everything, and they found that none of their fears came true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In fact, and so then they came back to me a year later, and they said, Nero, remember that big vision you pointed for us a year ago? Can you tell us more about that now?
Now's the right time.
Okay? Yeah. And now they're living the life of their dreams, okay?
Yeah.
But you need to verify your limiting beliefs. Mm. You need to trigger, if this is what you want to achieve, okay, now write down all the reasons you think you can't. Now you've got to find out whether, first of all, you've got to work out whether they're true.
Mm.
You know, like for me, trying to slam dunk on basketball, ain't going to happen, right? I just, you know, maybe if someone trained me and maybe I could, because there are people my height who probably could.
Trampoline.
I don't want to. That's the other thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? Right, you know, is when you're verifying limiting beliefs, you'll suddenly go, it could be possible. Yeah, I don't really want to do that.
Though. Yeah.
Right, and so, whereas this couple were committed to achieving well.
Yeah.
They just needed the right help. So, you need to understand that if you're wanting a vision but you don't believe you can achieve it, verify those limiting beliefs. And when you find evidence that your belief is wrong and you're gonna, it's ridiculously easy to do that, you will then come face to face with the truth. Is that vision for yourself of achieving wealth, is it what you really wanted?
Mm.
As I said, you know, jumping up, slam dunking, a basketball thing, probably could be possible. I could find some way of doing it. I can't
can't be bothered. I don't want to. That is not what I want.
Yeah.
Okay. So same way, but if you want to say you want to achieve wealth, but you think you're too old, and then you find someone else who's in the same situation or worse, who's done it, now you've got to get real face to face with yourself and go, do you really want to achieve this?
Yeah.
Or are you too busy trying to be right? Because I believe that so many people are more invested in being right than being rich. Okay. They want to believe certain things about themselves and they don't want to be shown to be wrong.
Yeah.
But wealth achievers are looking to be wrong because
they've
got to a certain level and they want to push through and they need to change something.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not normally the mechanics of what they're doing. It's normally something in their mindset or their psychology that's holding them back.
Correct. It's a very, very big part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you need to verify your limiting beliefs. But then the next thing, and the biggest thing that I would say that affects most people, and if there's one thing you take away from this, yes, you want to have a big vision for yourself and go in the right direction, but you need to ask yourself, who do you go to for advice? Both intentionally, but also unintentionally. And that's the biggest thing, because one of the couples I remember, again, they were great. They moved, they were scared. They didn't think they could do it. They went ahead and started creating wealth. And they said, Nero, if you have a client, prospective client, who's not sure about this, here's our number. You get them to call us. We will tell them why they should do it.
Okay.
And it was like stunning. I said, absolutely, because we trusted you and you've made this happen for us. I said, no, I just gave you the mechanics.
Yeah.
But as far as they were concerned, I helped them. And so they were willing to support me when someone's on the fence.
Yeah.
Okay. They even recommended some of their kids, friends, a few other people. It was great. So then I thought, look, what I'll do is I'll go get a testimonial from them. And so that way we can use their results to further market.
Yeah.
And I remember going to see their home and they got very nervous. And I was like, you recommended other people to me. You actually let cold strangers call you. Why wouldn't you give me a testimonial? And they said, Nero, it's nothing about you. So I said, I get that, right? And they said, we haven't told all our friends and family what we're doing.
So they were embarrassed or ashamed?
No, neither. They're, what they were was they understood that you have to be very careful about your circle of influence.
Right.
See, there is... a test done back in the early 1900s, okay, and it was a very, very simple test, and it winds back nicely to the story, is there was two pieces of paper. One piece of paper had one line on it, black line. The other piece of paper had three lines on it. One was shorter, one was the same size, one was longer.
Yeah.
And the test was, on this right side of paper, pick the line that's the same size as this one.
Yeah.
Pretty easy test, right? Done in isolation, 100% correct. So anyone interviewed obviously got it correct. But then what the tester did was, they did group testing. But they planted five moles, and there were six people, five moles and one person, okay?
Yeah.
And the five moles went first, and then the next person, the actual person, had to answer the question.
Yeah.
The five moles all gave the wrong answer. It's a black and white thing. So six person shouldn't be a huge thing. What, they're crazy, shouldn't
it's
be
It's not subjective.
No, exactly, it's it, exactly. Yeah. Yet one-third of the testers, actual people, changed their answer to give a wrong answer based on what the other five people said, okay?
God, that's scary.
It's scary, right? Yeah. Okay. That's black or white. But here's what was even scarier. Of the two-thirds who gave the right answer, the vast majority doubted themselves.
Yeah.
Because they'd been influenced by these five other people, okay? Now, what does that show you? Well, it shows that if that's something that's black and white and you can be affected, imagine when you're trying to achieve wealth, you've never done it before. You're trying to go down a particular pathway, you've never done it before, right? You know, you're going to be affected by these people even if you don't mean to be, okay? Just because you can be listening to them. And so you can be affected, either take the wrong decision, or most importantly, you can be told that you're crazy and you start to doubt yourself. And when you're in a position of self-doubt and you're trying to do something that's for the first time, you're frozen.
Yeah.
Okay? There was a couple again who came to me, and this is the opposite story. It's a story that really broke my heart, was they were in their late 40s, I think. Early 50s. High school sweethearts, married, worked 25 years. Paid off their home completely, low-income earners, okay? And they wanted to do something. The husband especially wanted to do something. The wife had been terrified all her life. They came and saw me and put together a plan, very low risk. It was going to get them, help them get ahead faster, retire faster and everything else. And they were so excited, okay? In fact, as they left, the husband held back a bit and he said, thank you so much, we can finally move forwards. Very exciting. Two or three days later, the wife called me.
Yeah.
The tone of voice was bad, and she said, we've decided to pull out. And I couldn't work out. And I said, I don't think this is for us. And she gave a very quiet answer. And I said, okay. And a couple of days later, the husband called me, completely distraught. I said, why? What's going on? He said, we want to do this. I said, yes, but your wife said you're pulling out.
Yeah.
He said, no, no. She's terrified. I said, yeah, I get that. But what happened? It's just they were in low income earning industry. They worked in a factory. she'd been so excited. She had gone to all her work
and
colleagues.
Told everyone.
Told everyone
so
what she's
excited.
Doing. Correct. And then what do you think they said? They didn't say, great, good for you. They thought, what's wrong with you? How can you do it? You know, this guy's got to be a scam artist. You know, how can you, a lowly income earner, you know?
Scam artist, oh, it's too risky. Oh, you hear about this, they lost all their money.
Correct. Yeah. All of that, right? And so, literally, because of so many people said, you know, who are you? And even if he's right, you can't do that. It would never work for you.
Yeah.
They had literally all that input had frozen her.
Yeah.
And she'd been affected by her circle of influence. Mm. And so now even her husband couldn't convince her. And so I had no hope of doing it. Okay. It was game over for them.
Yeah.
You see? Whereas a couple who wouldn't give me the testimonial, they understood the power of their circle of influence.
Yeah.
Okay. They understood that who you trust and what you trust them with affects your wealth.
Yeah.
Okay. So see, there's so many people out there says you just need to have the right group of friends.
Yeah.
The couples who I've seen who've helped achieve wealth, the people who've achieved wealth haven't necessarily changed their friends. They've just changed what they share with their friends.
Yeah, exactly. Okay? Or their family.
Exactly. Okay, right?
You can't choose your family.
Exactly right. You know? So they've just realized that, oh my goodness, you know. And so this couple who wouldn't give a testimony said, we don't want everybody to know.
Yeah.
I said, so how are you explaining to the fact that you're taking 3 world cruises a year and, you know, you're looking at retiring 5 years early? And,
yeah.
You know, and they said, oh, we just sort of don't talk about it, or we just say it's on points. Or they just really make up a story, right? Because they're not ashamed at all. They're very proud of it. And that's why they've recommended so many other people to come to me. And they're literally willing to call and speak to people, complete strangers. But what they didn't want to do is be told that they were lucky when they'd worked hard for this.
Yeah.
You see, because here's what I found. If you go and get the wrong circle of influence and you say you've got this idea that doesn't fit for them because none of them are wealth achievers, they're going to initially call you crazy, or they're going to call you crazy and lucky if you happen to achieve it.
Yeah.
Okay? They're not going to honor you. And so these people did not want their success taken away from them by people who didn't understand.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, again, such a bold and courageous move for them, and they were so open with me. I said, I got it, right?
Yeah.
Now, some people just don't care, okay, and they're happy for whoever's known, and that's cool. But many of us, we are affected. I would say most people on the planet are affected by our social surroundings, okay? So you need to ask yourself, is your circle of influence, the people who you talk to, you share information with, you get input from either directly or by watching them, are they the right people for you, okay? It's like, for example, if you love your parents, they have a wonderful marriage. Great, you might go in there for marriage advice. Mm. But if they're both massively overweight and terrible health,
not going to go to them for weight loss or health advice.
Exactly. Right, okay? But what do? We take one person and we go to them for everything.
Mm.
It doesn't work that
because
way.
Because they're my best friend or they're good people.
Correct.
And they are, but...
Correct, exactly. But they're not the right people for you. So what I learned is that, you've got to trust. Find the people you trust. You're going to be great friends. You go socialize. Mm. But what are you trusting them with?
Yeah.
You know, what's the conversation? You know, is it affecting you to move forwards, or is it affecting you to stop and be frozen? Okay. I truly believe wealth achievers understand the power of their circle of influence. Okay. And they understand that who you trust and what you trust them with, that's huge. You know, I mean, that doesn't mean, you know, you try and keep everything to yourself. No, but what it means is you've got to ask yourself, are you having conversations? Are you getting your input from people who are going to move you forwards towards your vision, your goals, or they're going to keep you safe, keep you, hold you down, all right? Because what you do not want to do is get to the end of your life wishing, I wish someone had told me.
Yeah.
Because there are people out there who will tell you, okay? They will share you with your advice, and people, wealth achievers go, you know, it doesn't matter that they're getting something out of the deal. They should be. It's got to be win-win.
Yeah.
But many people are looking for the best advice they can get, but for free. Because they want to win and others lose. And that's not really what they're thinking. What they're thinking is that if someone else wins, if I pay some money for advice, or if I do something, someone else will win, which is I'm going to lose.
Wow, okay.
And whereas wealth achievers believe in win-win. I'm going to pay you for advice. Yeah. I'm going to get you to help me, and we're going to win together. You're going to win, but I'm going to win as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Whereas I find that most people on the planet think that if someone wins, someone else wins, they must lose.
Yeah.
Right. If I pay their money,
that it's a zero-sum game.
Correct. Right. If I pay you for advice, then you're going to take me down the garden path.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you're going to, you know, it's going to be hoodwinked. Are you going to give it for free? That doesn't make any sense. Mm. I mean, if you're getting something for free from somebody, I mean, think about it. You wouldn't go and work at your job, and then not expect to get paid.
Yeah.
You expect a fair exchange of value.
Yeah.
But many people forget that's the way life works. We're looking to try and get advice to get people. People are unwilling to pay for information. But unfortunately, you don't realize that unless you have the right information, you can't implement. If you don't know the opportunities out there, I mean, I meet so many people, like in Sydney, Australia right now, for the last 4 years has gone through one of the greatest real estate booms on the planet, bar none. Prices have risen crazily. We've got record low affordability right now. Sydney's becoming almost a city for the wealthy in many ways, okay? Yet there are people 5 years ago who could have bought another property here. They could have bought maybe one or two more properties. Had they done that today, they'd be financially free in many ways, okay? Why didn't they? Because they didn't have the right input. Nobody told them. It wasn't a must for them, okay? Yet, so opportunity comes and comes by and then just goes past you. And wealth achievers know when to jump on that train to take it. But if you keep watching the trains go past while you're digging ditches or you're working hard, you're doing your job, it's never gonna happen, all right? You need to focus on becoming a wealth achiever. You need to have a mindset of, I need to find the right opportunities. I need to train myself to find the right opportunities. I need to have the right people feeding me these opportunities. I get to make the decision which train I jump on.
Yeah.
I need to know what my options are.
Yeah.
And most people don't know what their options are and they jump on too late.
Yeah.
They try to catch a train that's bolted.
Yeah.
You can't catch a train. It's gone, right? Okay. So the thing is that you need to be very, very careful in how you're living your life. If you are committed to achieving wealth, you've got to have the right habits in place. And as I said at the start, the greatest thing is having the right habits involves no more effort than having the wrong habits. You know, I mean, there are people I know who've got two jobs or working, you know, damn hard, trying to just put food on the table, trying to survive. They're working harder than many of the wealth achievers I know, right? Because the wealth achievers at certain points in their life, they had certain moments, they made certain decisions, okay? And this is another habit is wealth achievers are decision makers. Most other people are decision avoiders.
Yeah.
All right? Wealth achievers saying, okay, I have a limited window of opportunity to make this. Am I jumping on that train or not?
Yeah.
Okay. Wealth achievers say, I'll wait and see where that train goes and then I'll jump on it. Too late, it's gone. You can't jump on.
With decision, I always liken it to if you're going to cross a road, you either cross or you don't. Either way, you're safe. But if you go halfway and hesitate, that's not going to work so well for you.
Exactly right. Exactly. Absolutely right. You know, halfway through, it doesn't quite work. Correct. But even with wealth achievers, though, sometimes you've got to get to the other side of the road.
Yeah.
You know, people say, I'll wait for the perfect time. Perfect time is now, essentially, in most cases, right? You need to get across.
Yeah.
But many people think, oh, if I avoid making a decision, somehow the decision will be made for me. No. Yeah. If you're avoiding a decision, then you are making a decision of no. You're choosing not to get on that train, right? Yeah. But then people say, oh, Nero, I tried it before.
Yeah.
I tried property investing or share investing. I tried a business and I failed, okay? Wealth achievers understand that they don't let their past mistakes stop them from future success. Okay, if anything, wealth achievers, like the couple I mentioned to you before, who said, we've tried property investing before and it failed for us.
Yeah.
So what they realize is the way they did property investing failed.
Yeah.
There's obviously other people are making, creating wealth, so they needed some new information.
So they weren't failures. What they had done had not worked, but the strategies had worked, but they didn't take on board as we can't do
Correct. It. Exactly right. They were willing to say, well, what else is there? What should we do differently?
Yeah.
And I remember literally in that first meeting with those guys, they were like, why didn't someone tell us before? Right? And I said, look, you can have that attitude of why didn't someone tell us before?
Yeah.
Because if someone's told this to me now,
and then how let's do
we
move it.
Forwards?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, and that's what they did.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, people. So the thing is, the thing that breaks my heart the most is people who want to achieve wealth. Those who try, and then fail. Okay, and then they stop.
Yeah, give up.
Exactly. But here's the thing: the most inspirational stories you've ever read are the people who've tried and failed. And then succeeded.
And that's like every good Hollywood movie. It's the same
thing. Exactly right.
If it was just started great, middle was, it's still great. At the end, it's still great. People are like, why am I watching this?
Where's the story?
Yeah.
Exactly right. You know, so in my life now, and I believe, you know, wealth achievers have this thing. They have two options. It's either success or surrender. There's only two choices. Failure is on the way. Okay. I can fail, but it's success or surrender.
That's interesting. Yeah. So the polar opposite, almost like it's not success and the opposite is failure. The opposite of success is surrender.
Very much so. And I think, you know, see, for many people, we've gone through school, and school is pass or fail, pass or fail, okay? And so we've associated passing or getting a particular grade to be success or failing, okay? And so that's how we then take that through life.
Yeah.
But that's not actually how life works, because if in school we learn something, we're supposed to know it, and we get a test to see how well we know it, okay? Whereas in life, you take the test first, and then you learn afterwards.
Yeah,
all right?
The other way around.
Exactly. So therefore, I used to think that if I hadn't succeeded, I'd failed. Now I realize if I haven't succeeded, I mean, I just haven't failed enough.
Yeah.
Just haven't tried enough things. I haven't got there yet. And that's why wealth achievers, I mean, We all know Disney, mega company,
yeah.
All their theme parks. Walt Disney was turned down by over 300 financial institutions. Translation, he got failed, got told no, 300 times yeah. before he got to success,
yeah.
okay? Success or surrender.
Yeah.
Failure is just a journey,
yeah.
okay? And so as a wealth achiever, for you, you're going to be like, I'm going to try something. More than likely, you will fail. Okay, it's like if you're trying to tie your shoelaces
yeah.
for the first time.
Well, this is really interesting because I think it's opposite to, you know, the secret, what it preaches is talk about positive thinking. And I think there's a place for that. But I think intelligence is hugely underestimated because I think if you anticipate, okay, it may not work out and you can put a smart plan in place. And if it doesn't work out, you don't make it personal. You just say, I'm committed to it, leading all the way to the beginning. If it's a must, you don't then lose your mind and go, oh my God, I failed. This is not for me.
Correct.
I'm not a wealthy person. I'm always going to be poor. You just go, no, I know what I want.
Yes.
And I just haven't found the right vehicle yet.
Correct.
Right?
Absolutely right. You know, so you've got to either be willing to fail your way to success. Okay.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is, as I said at the start, you know, I get couples, very similar situation.
Yeah.
One would choose to proceed, the other wouldn't. And yet the one who chose to proceed was also scared.
Yeah.
The one who didn't, was also scared.
Yeah.
Right? So it wasn't fear. They both had fear. It's not as if they were got this, you know, they're Superman. No, they
yeah.
both got fear, okay? But the difference is that the people who had fear were willing to accept that they were fearful.
Yeah.
And then they're willing to say, okay, so what could go wrong along the way?
Yeah.
What are the risks? All right. Because the greatest wealth achievers on the planet don't like risk.
Mm.
I know many people think, oh, look at Richard Branson, or they love risk.
Yeah.
No, they don't like risk, okay?
Yeah.
But they accept that risk-taking is a part of success.
Yeah.
And then they use their intelligence or their fears, in many cases, when
yeah.
you get started, to look at what's the downside?
Yeah.
What could happen? What happens if in a property I don't get it rented?
Yeah.
What happens if I can't get the loan? What happens?
Yeah.
Right? And then they look to mitigate it.
Exactly.
Right? So they accept that risk is part of it. All investing carries risk. All business carries, all wealth achievement carries. It's just, that's part of the game, right?
Yeah.
It's a universal rule of life, okay? You cannot get through from birth to death without taking risk.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. I mean, because in the end, the risk of life is that you're going to die. It's 100% guaranteed,
yeah.
right? Okay. So therefore, you need to understand that there's risk involved. But the people who are most scared went, okay, what could go wrong? How we mitigate that? We got that money. Nero, tell me again what the strategy is if this doesn't work out the way.
Yeah.
And then they go, we've taken every precaution we can. We know we must do. Now we move forwards.
Mm.
Because when you know you can handle a worst case scenario, you've handled the downside. Then everything else is gravy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you look at all the greatest wealth achievers, they'll say that if ever they failed or their fails were too big, and generally it's because they got too big for their boots in many cases,
yeah.
they forgot to consider the downside.
Mm.
I know for me, when I've looked at certain business opportunities, certain investments, and I've been riding on a high when I've been successful, I sometimes cut corners
mm-hmm.
and I don't look at the downside.
Mm-hmm.
And then it hits me in the bang. I'm like, oh God, why didn't I look at the downside,
yeah.
right? You know. And so you've got to consider that there's risk. So you don't fear risk, you accept it.
Yeah.
And you use it intelligently. But I always know when people say, okay, you know, what happens if the property doesn't get rented? Or what happens if, you know, interest rates rise
mm-hmm.
or whatever? Or they're asking intelligent questions. They're looking for guidance. So what I would say is wealth achievers have different question asking habits. They ask directional questions.
Yeah.
They're going, in other words, I'm here, I want to get to here. These are all things that I'm worried about.
Yeah.
How do I get them mitigated? So in other words, it's like you're trying to cross the road.
Yeah.
I'm looking left and right.
Yeah.
They don't just blindfold them and go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Whereas people who fail to achieve wealth will go, what happens if a tsunami comes and wipes out the country?
Yeah.
That is not a directional question. That is not, you know, that kind of event, if it happens, has no more impact on you whether you have done something or not.
Mm.
In fact, it's probably got less impact because if you're a wealth achiever, you're more likely to bounce back.
Yeah.
All right? You know, that's
yeah.
the amazing part. So you need to ask, understand what questions are you asking of yourself, all right? As a wealth achiever, you need to be a decision maker, which means you need to say, you can say no, but be conscious of why you're saying no.
Yeah.
Have you asked all the questions and you can say, no, that is not for me, all right? Not because I'm scared, that doesn't make any sense. No, because blah, blah, blah doesn't make sense. Like, for example, right now, trading Forex for me, interested in that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's just not my thing. Yes, it's great opportunities. I prefer property.
Yeah.
I prefer business. That's what I prefer.
And that's okay.
Absolutely.
There's no need just because someone else is killing it in Forex exchanging, trading as an example. There's no need for you to go, oh my God, I'm missing out, jump boat and then go there.
Not at all.
Because a lot of people do that. They are onto
yes.
their next shiny thing all the time.
Correct. And this is because as a wealth achiever, people who are jumping from one to another
yeah.
are ultimately, or those who fail to achieve wealth, they're looking at what's the next easiest way for me to create a massive amount of money without doing any work?
That's a really dangerous question to
ask.
It is.
It is. But that's what they don't realize what they're asking. They're going, everyone is doing this. I'll jump in.
Yeah.
Right? But that's what they're jumping in after the train's gone past. They're holding on for dear life. And guess what happens?
Yeah.
They end up letting go and they get hurt.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So you need to ask yourself when the vision is, okay, you want to create wealth. What is it that you like? You see, you can create wealth through property.
Mm-hmm.
You can create wealth through business. Mm-hmm. Through Forex, apparently through cryptocurrency now
is the next thing. Bitcoin right now
is big, you know. Gold, you can do it, right? You can make money when markets go up. You can make money when markets go down.
Yeah.
It's not the vehicle.
Mm.
It's what do you want to do?
Yeah.
And how have you been training yourself? And what I mean by this is two of the fundamental habits that I believe wealth achievers have, once they've got through all this thing about verifying limiting beliefs and vision and everything else, is the first thing is they are continually upgrading their money-making skills.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, for example, let's just say you want to buy a piece of property, and your income is not high enough to buy property. Well, you have two choices. You either say property's too expensive, I'm not going to do it. Okay. Or you go, well, I need to earn extra money. How do I do that? Remember this single lady. She was working in helping elderly people. Okay. And she'd been to a number of other wealth advisors before she came to see me. And she said, I'm frustrated. I said, why? What's going on? She said, I want to create wealth and I want to achieve property. And I looked at her and I said, look, you just can't afford it right now.
Mm.
And I was interested to see what her reaction was. And she asked me a key question. She said, Nero, what would it take for me to be able?
That's a really good question.
Exactly. Yeah. What would it take? Rather than saying, I can't. What would it take?
Yeah.
And I said, it'll take you increase your income by $300 a month.
So you gave her a really specific...
It was, because that's what it was.
Yeah.
Right? And she said, $300 a month. I said that. She said, no one's ever told me this before. I said, that's all you. If you can work out a way, $300 a month, and evidence it for 6 months, we're in the game.
Yeah.
She said, Nero, I'll come back to you.
Yeah.
And I've heard many people say they'll come back to me. Right? And I said, look, good luck. I wish you all the best.
Yeah.
6 months later, or 8 months later, she called me and said, Nero, I did what you said.
Yeah.
I said, and I couldn't remember what I told her, right?
What do you mean?
Yeah, exactly. What did I say? She said, no, you said I'd increase my income through it. I've done that.
Yeah.
Can we cook talk? I said, no, I was absolutely fascinated.
Yeah.
And not only did she actually income significantly more, and I said, what did you do? She said, well, Nero, I'm a single lady. I'm in my late 40s, okay? I need to do something.
Yeah.
I'm not on a high income, and I know the property can help me get there. And you said I need to increase my income. And when I thought about it, I said, oh, I've got this extra room in the house that I don't need. I'm a single person. And I've got two rooms, in fact. I'm going to rent them out to international students.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being $300 a month, you know, increasing income by, you know, $250 a week or nearly $1,000 a month. And she said, I'm not working any harder. Remember I said, wealth achievers don't necessarily work any harder. She says, rooms are sitting there doing nothing.
Mm.
And guess what? Now I'm not home alone. And I get the best students, you know, we were like family together and everything else. But now I want to buy property. She's now bought her fifth property.
Wow. Yeah.
And more importantly, she's now going to other things and she's now going, well, I need to increase my income again. She's studying and she's looking to upgrade her money-making skills. I mean, university students helped, but they got to a certain level.
Yeah.
Now she wants to go to the next level. All right. And so you've got to continue to look at how do you upgrade your money-making skills? Because if you want to increase your income, if you want to increase your net worth, you got to understand that you need to increase your value to society from an economic perspective, right?
Yeah.
Not as a person, you may be a great person, great parent, great whatever. No,
you
need to increase your economic value. But to increase your economic value, you need to become more valuable, which means you need to have some sort of skills that the market will pay for, right? Now, you might say, oh, look, but you know, I am helping, like this other example, helping people at the end of their lives. It's a great thing. It makes me feel good. I get that. Unfortunately, the reality is the economy won't pay you that much. They'll pay an actor a lot more than they will you. That's reality.
And people hear this stuff and they get all upset and get righteous about it, say it's not fair.
Correct.
But it's a reality.
It's reality, unfortunately. Yeah. It's just the way things are. And so you've got to understand, you've got to accept, wealth achievers are very accepting. They don't like it. They don't like it any more than anybody else. But they accept, I can't change the way society functions.
Yeah.
So all I can do is play by the rules of the game. I didn't create the rules. I don't like the rules, but these are the rules.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they upgrade their money making skills, right? You know. So you need to say, if I can only earn this much. I remember my very first job in the corporate environment. Graduated out of university, I wasn't paid very much, and I asked my mentor. I had a mentor, and I'm like, sucks. You know, I'm better than this, and I'm only earning. The company doesn't pay me enough. They said, and I remember he asked me, he said, Nero, he says, yes. Do they pay other people in your company more? I says, senior manager gets paid much higher. Mm-hmm. And I said, so it's not the company's fault. The company pays more. They just don't pay you anymore. I said, what?
That's not a very nice thing to say.
Exactly. I said, what do you mean they pay me anymore? I said, because you're of no more value to the company. And it hit me like a brick. I said, what do you mean? He says, you know, you haven't demonstrated your value. You either are, number one, holding back on yourself, or you're not looking for opportunities. See, you're hoping that they will pay you more money because you're a good person.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but if you're a good person, it makes you feel good, but the company's not going to pay you any more. They'll probably pay you less, right, relatively. So you need to go and add value. You need to upgrade your skills. And I have taken that lesson from me throughout life, right? You know, when I got into my first sales role in the wealth advice industry, helping people, I couldn't sell for quids. Could not sell at all. And I remember my employer telling me, you know, if you can't sell someone or close a deal, we're going to have to let you go in the next 3 months. It's a little scary because
that's pretty confronting.
Exactly, right? It wasn't a nice boss. And I was like, huh, all right. So I had to invest in myself. I had to learn new skills. And then I went from the person where they said, we're going to let you go in 90 days if you don't make a sale, to a few years later, breaking the company sales record and then breaking it again.
Yeah.
All right. And this record, it stood for like 17 years or something. And how did I get there? It's because I upgraded my skills. And obviously, if I'm breaking sales records, there are incentives and everything. My income went through the roof, okay? But I didn't focus on the income. I focus on the skills to add more value to then increase my income. And when I increased my income, I then applied the next habit, which is you leverage capital into assets for a positive return.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that doesn't make any sense, you've got to understand that money has its own language, all right? So therefore, most of us who are savers, who are taught to save, money doesn't like to stay in one place. Money is like energy, it flows. It's either growing or shrinking, which means shrinking from you and it's growing someone else's, to someone else, okay? So you need to say, if you've got a certain amount of money, yes, you can save it, but after a point, you've got to invest it into something that grows in value and hopefully gives you a positive return.
Yeah.
If not, you're gonna be left behind. I mean, no matter what interest rates are doing, you cannot save your way to wealth anymore. Those days are gone.
Yeah.
And I don't see them ever coming back. Society's moved on, right? So you need to leverage capital into assets. You need to take the money that you have and look to say, what can you do to invest it? But at the same time, if you don't have enough, like when I got started, many of us going, we don't have the money.
Exactly.
Then what you've got to do is you've got to become the investment, which means just like how I got started, I understood that people wanted to buy property and that property was a great way to create wealth. I couldn't buy it. I didn't have the money necessarily. So I could do two things. I could either get people to invest in me, which is one thing, or I could become the person who found the opportunities for the people who had the money.
And match them.
Match them, right? And so I made a small cut. So that's how I got it. So I became the person who people invested in because I found the opportunities that made them a positive return, right? So you've got to ask yourself, are you someone who people are investing in? Because guess what? If you have a job right now, the person who's investing in you is your employer.
Yeah.
What kind of return are you giving to them? Are you giving them a return that's just passable? Or are you giving them a return that's way exceeding what anybody else on your level is doing? So then you can go and ask for that raise.
Yeah.
All right? And if that raise isn't forthcoming, because some of us are in jobs that only pay us a certain amount, okay, you can still use the skills and the testimonial and the reference you get to use it to move to another job that pays you more.
Yeah.
But understand that no one else is going to pay you more until you can add more value.
Absolutely. Okay?
You need to become either you are the person who's leveraging your capital into assets, or you are the person people are investing in to get a positive return. If you understand that, you will become a wealth achiever. All right? But it's got to be a must for you. You've got to be the kind of person who says, I need to achieve this. And whatever this is for you, it could be an extra $10,000 in the bank account end of this year.
Yeah.
Okay. Or it could be an extra $10 million. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
What is it that you must do? All right. And then you've got to keep going through these habits. But seriously, the first thing and the best thing you've done when you're watching this video, you've looked to change your circle of influence. You've looked to get new information. If you do nothing else but continue to invest in yourself and your education, eventually you get to a stage where you go, God damn it, if they can do it, so can I.
Yeah, and your beliefs change.
Exactly.
Your game changes.
Even if no one around you has done it.
Yeah.
You go, well, that's okay. They've done it, and they were in either the same situation as me or even worse.
Mm.
And I get so fired up, I get passionate about this because I see so many of us shortchanging ourselves because of the stories we've told ourselves, the lies we've told ourselves, the misinterpretations when we were kids, whatever the case happened to be.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's why I think, as someone, if you want to create wealth for yourself, if there's nothing I want to say, upgrade your circle of influence.
Mm.
Join somebody. Get involved in an area where people are playing life at a different game to you, and you'll be naturally drawn to that.
Yeah.
All right. And then you can start taking your life to another level.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one question in
Please.
Closing. So we've talked a lot about habits.
Yes.
How do you change your habits? Because I often think, okay, people are their habits, and you go, oh, for example, if I'm overweight, change your habit. Every morning, get up, go work out. And people go, yep, got that. 10 years later, haven't done a single thing.
Yep.
So you talk about how, like, changing habit, and you change your habit, then you almost get to where you get to is inevitable, because you've changed your habit, you change who you are. It doesn't matter where you start from. But how do you change your habit?
I think you just raised a great point there, is if people get from the interview that if you change your habits, you change your destiny.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? You change your daily habits, you'll change your eventual destination.
Yeah.
Okay? Absolutely. So your question, how do you change your habits? Right? Well, the first question I always ask is, why do you want to change your habits?
Yeah.
Right? You know, do you want to become a wealth achiever? Remember I said so people don't get what they want, always what they want.
Yeah.
They get what they must have.
Yeah.
Okay. If must have is, well, my life's okay, you know, I would like more, but you know what? I'm pretty comfortable here. This is okay.
And I think that's the case the vast majority of times, whether it's wealth, whether it's, you know, for example, people go, oh, coming up to New Year's, I want a six pack.
Yes.
You know, they really want it. Is it a must? No. Oh, what's a must is, you know, eating Cheetos, eating pizza, drinking and going, oh yeah, try that. I don't want it when they, you know.
Correct.
So how do you get someone past that?
Yeah. Okay. So look, I think one of the key thing, and this is a thing that I do talk about some of my advanced trainings, is using what I call proactive determination. What do I mean? There have been times in your life, I'm sure you've been through, Adrian, and you're watching, where your back's against the wall.
Yeah.
You've got no option, but you just need to do something that you don't think is possible. You've got to do it, okay? And you do it. Sometimes I say, you don't know how strong you are until being strong is the only option you have, all right? So many people understand that they'll be at this certain level, and for example, weight loss is a classic, okay? They're okay with themselves, and after a while they realize, oh, they look fat in photos.
Yeah.
Okay, they've jumped down. I want to get back up here.
Yeah.
And so they get back to what I call the set point, what I call your wealth achievement, your wealth set point. Mm. How do you increase your wealth set point, okay?
Yeah.
So that then you start doing everything else. It has to become a must for you. It has to become like, well, why do I want to do this? Why must I do this?
Mm.
Why must I upgrade my home? Why must I be able to put my kids through the best education? Why must I be able to put food on the table? Why must I?
Mm.
All right? Not why should I?
Yeah.
I'm not interested in why you should do anything, because we always say we should do what we should do. We never do what we should do.
Yeah.
We only do what we must do.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly.
Well, you know, whether that must is because it's our boss telling us or it's something from internal. Okay? So you change your habits by first realizing that it's your habits that are affecting your destiny. Your current situation in life, no matter how painful it is, whatever, is a result of something that's happened to you in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something external, like I said, someone attacking me in a court case, could be a car accident, it could be something external, yes, or it could be just a result of all these past habits. Whatever the situation is, where you are right now, the only way to move from here to move forwards is to go, oh, I've got to make some changes.
Yeah.
And the first thing to, if you want to know what's the first way you change a habit, you change your circle of influence.
Right.
Okay. If you go from a group of friends who are constantly going out gambling every Friday night, you go from them to now a group of people who are constantly looking at the next great piece of property to buy.
Yeah.
You're initially going to be, this is going to be comfortable here, the gambling.
Yeah.
Over here is not comfortable. Okay. But if you can step out of your comfort zone and say, I want to learn what these guys learn, guess what's going to happen? After a few weeks, you're going to start talking about language of buying property.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, and just like I talk about language of money, you can talk about that language. Your language determines so much about you.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you need to change that circle of influence. You need to get around people who are talking at a level that you can understand, but a level that's higher than you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's no point, you know, it's like learning a language. What's the greatest way to learn a language? Go to the country.
Exactly.
And just live there. And it's out of your comfort zone. It's a struggle. You'll learn it fast and try and learn something 1 hour a week.
Exactly.
So you've got to, if you want to know how to change your habits, it's hard to say, I want to immerse myself, I want to change my whole life. That's difficult. No, we want to change small things. Start with your circle of influence. Start with getting a book.
Yeah.
Read what's possible. Start with what's easy. Don't, a lot of people say, do what's hard. No, bugger that. You're not going to last. Let's make it easy. Start with what's easy.
Mm.
If you can't read, if you don't like reading, get an audiobook.
Yeah.
Right? There is no excuse.
Yeah.
Okay? Start with something small, the smallest of habits. Okay? It's like with health. All right? You know, people want to make this big change of diet. New Year's, big change.
Yeah.
I'm like, just start with eating an apple.
Yeah.
Start with small things, because one
small thing. Small decisions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, small hinges swing big doors.
Yeah.
Find out, do what's small, do what's simple. I'm not an advocate of, you know, living the hard life and grinding. As I said before, achieving wealth takes no more physical effort than achieving a life of mediocrity.
Mm.
It's just your habits. But changing habits is probably the hardest thing, yes.
Yep.
So start with the simplest.
Yep.
What's easiest for you? If it's running, you know, in the morning, if that's easy for you, if that's a habit you want to put in place, fine, that's great. Start with one new simple habit, okay? And then get a support system around you. So that way, so try and get your upgrade your circle of influence.
Mm.
So then you see, oh, okay, I'm eating an apple a day, but these guys are doing more.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm reading a book a day, but these guys are reading a book a day, and then they're taking what they're learning, and then they're implementing it, and
yeah.
actually actively practicing becoming property investors. So they're not, they can't buy anything. I mean, how did I understand how to find great property investment opportunities? I couldn't afford anything. I didn't have the money at the time, but I pretended. I practiced.
Yeah.
Right? And so then when the money came, I had the skills.
Yeah.
People say, I'll wait for the money and then get the skills. No, you've got to upgrade the skills first.
Yeah.
Right. So you've got to become someone who says, I'm going to upgrade my habits in the smallest way. I'm going to practice. I ask a question, answer a question in one word. How do I change my habits? Practice.
Yeah.
That's it. Start small. Change your habits. You'll change your destiny. You'll become a wealth achiever. And here's an amazing part. You will look back and go, how did I get here?
Yeah.
I didn't work any hard. How did this happen?
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, for me, I'm a country boy, you know, grew up in the country, New South Wales, grew up in a two-bedroom shack for the first year that I was in Australia, came here as a migrant. How did I get here?
Mm.
Have I worked any harder than anybody else? Not really. You know, am I lucky? Not really. I've just got different habits.
Yeah.
You know, and so you need to ask yourself, what are your habits? What do you need to, what do you want to change? Maybe you don't want to change anything, but then if you don't want to change anything, why are you even bothering?
Yeah.
Don't watch this video. Don't waste your time. You know, I'm a big believer, and this is one of the reasons why I started studying wealth achievement habits, is because within someone comes and tells me, within 10, 15 minutes, I say, look, why are you here?
Mm.
You don't want to do this. My role is not to force you to do anything you
exactly.
don't want to do. If it's not a must for you, you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and someone says, oh, my brother said that you helped him, and so, and I should invest, and I've got the money. And you can see, I should invest. And
yeah.
the language is I'm like,
yeah.
do you really want to do this? Well, what I really want to do is I want to travel.
Yeah.
So why are we here?
Yeah,
right? You know?
Exactly.
And maybe that's something that person had to do. That's fine. But you've got to ask yourself, why must you do this? Right? You know, we all get to a time in life where we go, I've been working so damn hard and my life is not working out the way it should. I thought things would be different. When you get to that point, you say, okay, I can think that it's not, it's you know, it's bad luck, it's the economy, it's blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Or I can, and it could be.
Yeah.
It absolutely could be. And people say, you know, don't blame. No, it definitely could be, right? It could be whatever it happens to be. But whatever it was that got you to where you are, it may not be your fault, okay? And people say, take full responsibility. Bugger that. All right? You might have been in a bad circle, bad group and whatever. But now, from this point forwards, once you realize I don't like the way my life is, it is now your responsibility to change it. Once you accept it's my responsibility for the future, I couldn't care less about the past.
Mm.
Okay, everyone's so busy about taking responsibility. Oh, it's gone.
Yeah.
Can't do anything about it. Learn from it, but move forwards. Take responsibility for your future. Ask yourself why you must achieve your goals, your next goal. Start building momentum.
Yeah.
And then you start with the small thing. You look back very quickly, within a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, going, how did I get here?
Mm.
I just implemented these simple habits.
Yeah.
I upgraded my circle of influence, and now things are moving forwards. That's my greatest wish for you.
Perfect.
If what I'm saying makes sense, immerse yourself in this, because eventually you will get to a stage where you go, I've got this information, now I must do something.
Yeah.
When you get to that must level, when you get to a level where this must happen, guess what? That's when it does happen.
Yeah.
That's when your success is guaranteed.
Perfect. Well, Niro, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Adrian. I hope this helped. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.